Welcome to Classical IPR in Concert. I'm your host, Amanda Sewell. Students in the Classical Voice major at Interlaken Arts Academy recently presented a production of Christoph Willibald Gluck's opera Orfeo ed Euridice, a story about how love triumphs over all. This production of the opera, in a way, is a story of triumph as well. The students put it together with less than 24 hours' notice. They performed while wearing masks, and they made every effort to make sure all kinds of people and all kinds of love were represented in the work. Joining us to talk about this production and about the opera itself is Dr. Laura Osgood Brown. She's instructor of voice and opera at Interlaken Arts Academy, and she directed this production. Hi, Laura. Thanks so much for coming on to talk with us about this opera.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
There's a lot to talk about here with this particular opera, but I want to talk about this performance for a second, because you folks performed this opera in November, but you had to do it a little sooner than you had been planning to.
Yes. So we have been preparing this opera the entire semester and had planned to record it just as we found out about our Michigan pause when all learning would go virtual for high schools, including Interlaken Arts Academy. So we heard about the new order on a Sunday night, and I immediately mobilized and called the entire team, lighting designer, our fabulous team with Interlaken Presents, our sound engineer, and said, can we do the whole thing tomorrow before things shut down? And everyone came together, and it was amazing, and we did. Each scene, one take. We scheduled it like clockwork. I think the students did a great job. I'm so proud of their work.
So the production we're about to hear happened with 24 hours notice, less than 24 hours notice, basically.
Yes. They got the email saying, show up tomorrow. We're doing one take and one take only. Get ready. Go.
And we're about to hear what they managed to do in that short of notice. So the opera is Christoph Willibald Gluck's Orfeo ed Euridice. And we're going to talk about each scene as it unfolds here. But we open the opera with a really sad scene. So tell us about what we're going to hear first.
On their wedding day, poor Orfeo and Euridice are separated by death. She is bitten by a snake and dies. And we open the opera on her funeral as we lament her death. Now, Orfeo says that he would do anything to have her back, and it turns out that the gods take pity on him and actually decide to allow him to go into the underworld to bring her back.
Yes, Amore, Cupid, shows up and says, oh, really? You would do anything?
But of course, there's always a catch, right? When the gods meddle, there's always a catch. And the catch here is that Orfeo cannot look at Euridice until they are back to the land of the living, and he cannot tell her about this rule.
And that is going to complicate things a little later in the opera. But let's start out with Act One. We'll hear scenes one and two from a recent production at Interlaken Arts Academy, the students of Dr. Laura Osgood Brown.
Thank you. Acheronte, ed Averno, pallido abitator, la decumano, avida delle morti, mai disarmò, mai pretender non seppe, bell'età nella gioventù. Voi mi rapiste, la mia bella Eurice, come memoria crudel, sul fior degli anni. La revoglio da voi, non mi tiranni, occorre anch'io.
Non sanno più.
l'avrò presente. E dopo i tanti affanni miei, in quel momento, in quella guerra d'affetti, io non dovrò mirarla. Non stringerla al mio seno. Comprendo l'anguissia mia nel figurarlo solo, sento gelarmi il sangue, tremarmi il cuore. Ma lo potrò, lo voglio, ho risoluto. Il grande, l'insoffribile dei mali e l'essere privo dell'unico dell'alma amato oggetto. Assistetemi, o dei, la legge accetto.
We heard Act One of Christoph Willibald Gluck's Orfeo ed Euridice, performed by the Classical Voice Majors at Interlaken Arts Academy, a recent production directed by Dr. Laura Osgood Brown, who's here with us on Classical IPR in Concert. Now, Laura, you created this version of this opera. Our music history buffs will know that there are lots and lots of versions of this opera. There's an Italian version, and there's a French version, and there's many versions of each of those. So how did you go about creating your own edition, I suppose, of this opera?
This is actually one of the reasons why I chose this piece. If you look at the recorded history of this piece, it really reads like a who's who of great singers. It was originally written for a castrati voice, sung by tenors, sung by baritones, sung by mezzo-sopranos, sung by countertenors. So that kind of flexibility was great for great to fit this opera to the cast that I have. So I looked at all of the versions and found what was best for the students. And I have a little bit of each. And I took some pieces I liked from the French version and then found the Italian translation. And
Orfeo's voice type is very interesting because, yes, the original role was for a castrato, for a male soprano, but those were popular in Italy, but not so much in France.
No, yes, the French were not a big fan. So when it actually premiered in 1762 in Vienna with the castrato Italian version, the Paris version, 1774, a high tenor voice, which was really typical for those French heroic roles, a high tenor voice sang the role. But then actually later on, also in France, Berlioz put together another version for his great friend, composer and performer, mezzo-soprano Pauline Viardot, who also sang the role. So you'll hear a little bit of different voice types. And in our production, we have broken each role down into scenes so that more students could have a leading opportunity and a featured role in this. So you'll hear a young tenor and you'll hear some young sopranos and mezzo-sopranos as Orfeo.
Yes, Orfeo is portrayed by students of a variety of voice types and genders in this particular production. We just heard a tenor, Daniel Voigt, in the role. And now as we shift to Act Two, we'll have a soprano portraying Orfeo. This is Abby Lewin. Now, before we go into Act Two, I just want to ask, in Act Two, Laura, there's a lot of dancing. There's a lot of dancing for an opera. So what's What's going on with all the dancing?
So, Act Two, we're traveling. We're traveling to the different parts of the underworld. In the first part, we are traveling to Hades, and we meet the terrifying Furies who are trying to dissuade anyone from entering the underworld. And so the dance gives an opportunity to give a visual expression of that intimidation and of that movement and of that supernatural quality. And so our singer's staging was incredibly physical, crawling around and writhing and all of that.
Well, let's hear scene one from Act Two of Orfeo ed Euridice, music of Christoph Willibald Gluck, from a recent production by the classical voice majors at Interlaken Arts Academy.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to jump in here in the middle of Act Two of Orfeo ed Euridice, the opera by Christoph Willibald Gluck. We're talking with Dr. Laura Osgood-Brown, who directed this recent production at Interlaken Arts Academy. And Laura, we were talking about all of the dancing that's happening here in this particular scene of the opera. And we're about to hear a very, very famous piece that accompanies a dance in this opera that I bet a lot of our listeners will recognize, even if they maybe haven't heard this opera in its entirety before.
Yes. So this is the Dance of the Blessed Spirits with a fabulous student flute player. And in our production, we have featured students of the dance department, choreographed by the wonderful Rachel James. This dance excerpt, besides being a beautiful flute solo, also helps us transition to a new part of the underworld. Orfeo has made it through the Furies, convinced them of his sorrow and his love and his need to find Euridice, and they let him through. And then he finds himself in Elysium, the place where heroes and people of great renown spend their afterlife.
And as our friend and colleague Dane Phillipson would agree, I'm sure we know we're in Elysium because the oboe arrives as well.
Oh, yes. We also feature a fabulous Arts Academy student on the oboe playing the duet Che puro ciel with our Orfeo, as Orfeo is searching for Euridice and says, "Everything is so beautiful here and everything is peaceful, but not for me, because I must find my beloved Euridice." And he does.
Yes, we finally get to meet Euridice. We've been talking about her all of this time, and now it's the great reveal that we finally meet her, and she's portrayed here by Madeline Zuckerman. And we have another Orfeo now. This is Julia Kempf in the lead role. So let's listen to the rest of Act Two of Orfeo ed Euridice. We'll start with the Dance of the Blessed Spirits and lead into the scene in Elysium. This is a recent production from Interlaken Arts Academy featuring the classical voice majors.
Thank you. Thank you.
The finale of Act Two of Orfeo ed Euridice, an opera by Christoph Willibald Gluck in a recent production featuring the classical voice majors of Interlaken Arts Academy. We're talking with Dr. Laura Osgood-Brown, who's instructor of voice and opera at Interlaken, and she directed this performance that we're listening to. Okay, Laura, so we're headed into Act Three right now, and we're arriving at our fourth Orfeo that we've met and our second Euridice so far. Tell us a little bit about the casting and why we are having so many different students in these roles.
In our production, we've broken down each leading role into several different scenes to feature different singers. We have so many amazing singers here at Interlaken. We want the opportunity to feature as many as possible. And you'll also hear that these students are singing opera in Italian, and they have done that diction work and translation work. They're learning these roles for this core repertoire that's still performed by mature singers all over the world. It also helps with stamina, as many of our singers are still young, and this may be their first operatic experience.
So, Laura, we're about to start Act Three, and we'll jump in the middle of Scene One because we'll have a shift in personnel, new Orfeo and Euridice. But I gotta say, you did a video version of this, and we'll post a link to that at classicalipr.org if folks want to watch the production. And we talked about how Orfeo was sometimes played by a male soprano and sometimes by a female soprano and sometimes by a male tenor. But I noticed that Orfeo here appears to be wearing a dress.
Yes. So in this scene, our Orfeo is a fabulous mezzo-soprano, Jessica Codsey. And as an institution that supports students of all gender identities and expressions, we thought it was important that our story was open to that. And our story was a love story between two people. And so each student was free to sing with their voice in their range and free to costume themselves for whichever gender identity they felt most comfortable with.
So not only are we hearing lots of different students playing these roles, but if we watch the video, we can see and hear many different gender identities and expressions. So we're hearing part of this duet between Orfeo and Euridice here in Scene One. Tell us what they're talking about.
So here is some real drama. So the lovers have been reunited, but if we remember, earlier, Amore said that Orfeo could not look at Euridice until they returned to the land of the living. And Euridice doesn't just accept this quietly. She questions it, and she wonders if she's doing the right thing and if Orfeo loves her anymore, if she has changed, and wonders, well, why should she leave paradise for the unknown? So there's a lot of temptation to look, and Orfeo eventually succumbs.
Oh.
We're going to pause here in the middle of scene one of act three of Orfeo ed Euridice by Christoph Willibald Gluck, a recent production by the classical voice majors at Interlaken Arts Academy. And Dr. Laura Osgood-Brown is here. And Laura, we're going to have a personnel change here, a new Orfeo and a new Euridice here. And the character of Amore is going to step in near the end of this scene. And as you said earlier, we have this conflict between Orfeo and Euridice, where Euridice says, please, please, please look at me. And Orfeo can't. He can't look at her, but he can't tell her that he can't look at her. And what happens next in this scene?
So he has just succumbed to temptation. He looked at her. She has fainted and died again. And this time he thinks forever. He considers his options and sings probably the most famous aria from this opera, Che farò senza Euridice? What will I do without my beloved Euridice? Well, after the aria, he thinks, I can no longer live without her, and so I will take my own life. And just as he lifts the dagger, he is stopped by Amore, who says, enough, enough. You have proven your fidelity, and I will reunite you. And we have a happy ending.
So as is the case in a lot of mythology, Amore is the one who sort of caused this mess in the first place, and then Amore steps in at the end and puts everything back where it belongs. So after Amore fixes things, we have a celebration of Amore. Hurrah! Thank you for fixing the problem that you created. So tell us about the chorus at the end with the full cast.
Yes, the final chorus, Triumphi Amore. Love triumphs over all. Let us praise love and give thanks.
We're going to hear the remainder of Act 3 of Orfeo ed Euridice. Music of Christoph Willibald Gluck from a recent production at Interlaken Arts Academy.
Thank you. Thank you.
the finale of the opera Orfeo ed Euridice by Christoph Willibald Gluck, a recent production by the Classical Voice Majors at Interlaken Arts Academy. And the production was directed by Dr. Laura Osgood Brown. And Laura, the end of this opera is about the triumph of love through any circumstance. And speaking of triumphs, the students in this production performed everything we heard with masks on.
Yes. All singing with more than one person in a room has been with masks. Most of our music rehearsals were outside in beautiful Kresge on the waterfront. And all of our staging was physically distanced, and all of our singing was masked. So it's just another thing to be so impressed with these young people and how they can adapt and how they can bring art to us even when everything seems different and everything seems difficult.
We heard Christoph Willibald Gluck's opera Orfeo ed Euridice, presented by the Classical Voice Majors at Interlaken Arts Academy. The production was directed by Dr. Laura Osgood Brown. The assistant director was Jeff Norris. The pianist was Dr. Soojin Kang. The sound engineer was Michael Culler. I'm Amanda Sewell. Thanks for joining us for Classical IPR in Concert. If you'd like to watch this recent production given by the students at Interlaken Arts Academy, visit our website at classicalipr.org.